This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We'll talk about Joe and Jill Biden here in a few. We apparently have a new fighter jet, which sounds sweet. Well, wait a minute. I'm not sure if it's a fighter, to be honest with you. I don't know anything about it. This new F-47.
The F-47 will be the most advanced, most capable, most lethal aircraft ever built. An experimental version of the plane has secretly been flying for almost 5 years, and we're confident that it massively overpowers the capabilities of any other nation. There's no other nation. We know every other plane. I've seen every one of them, and it's not even close. This is a next level. You know, level five is good. This is level six, they say. The F-47 is equipped with state-of-the-art stealth technology. It's virtually unseeable and unprecedented power. America's enemies will never see it coming. Hopefully we won't have to use it for that purpose, but you have to have it. And if it ever happens, they won't know what the hell hit them.
I don't understand exactly what it is, but it sounds sweet. I saw the picture of it when you saw the picture of it today. I guess that's not going to qualify as a fighter. I'm assuming a bomber? I don't know, but it sounds awesome. Let's not be dismissive of that. It is a big deal. It was always just the Navy. Now it's the Navy and the Air Force. You cannot fall behind your enemy technologically in those two areas. Your Army or Marine Corps, whatever, you can have a gun that's not quite top of the line. You can. You can get away with a gun from the Vietnam era if you're facing a modern era gun. You can. It doesn't work that way in the Air Force. It doesn't work that way in the Navy. You have to be technologically more advanced than they are. If that's what we got, good. Dear Jesse, I heard your listeners inquired about a contest to win a trip to your studio. My mind instantly flashed to when you described the look on Ob's face when you brought her to your apartment for the first time. So, no thanks. You know, Ob has actually been in here in the studio too, equally mortified here. Look, we're dudes here. We don't have any women that work in the studio. And so we decorate like dudes, as in we don't decorate at all. Everything is purely functional. There are places to sit. There are places to eat. But we don't have... Corey, do we have a single plant? Do we have a plant? There's none. There's nothing. We should get some greenery or something. Ob definitely brought that up last time, that there was not any greenery in the house. There's nothing on the walls except for the portrait of me looking like a prince behind, which that's awesome. Beyond that, we have a globe and... we have snacks. We have lots of snacks. So I'd say we're set here. Giant hands, Jesse. Do you like Dairy Queen? If so, build the ultimate blizzard. What are the toppings for you? Okay, so I have something controversial I have to say. I like Dairy Queen a lot. I'm not big on their ice cream. It's not that I dislike their ice cream. It's soft serve ice cream. It's fine. I like a dipped cone. I like a blizzard. I'm more of a Butterfinger blizzard guy, but I like all those things. I like Dairy Queen's burgers. And I don't know whether they still have them. For the longest time, they did. And then the last time I went to one, they didn't. And then I went to one in a different town, they did. So maybe it's location specific. They have these little jalapeno strips that they deep fry. I think they're called Jaliscos. Jaliscos, if I remember, something like that. You can get the jalapeno strips on a Dairy Queen burger. When I go to Dairy Queen, I hardly ever get ice cream. I get a burger. Ice cream is overrated. I didn't say bad. I like ice cream. It's fine. I just have never been a huge ice cream man. It's, I don't know. Jesse, what's worse? People who drive slow in the fast lane or people who treat a traffic circle like a four-way stop? His name is Matt. Buddy, traffic circles are wonderful. Wonderful. And here's why. Most people in society are hesitant and afraid. So they get to a traffic circle and they freeze up. If you're an assertive person, what that means is you can do whatever you want. You just go. I love traffic circles because it allows you to bully all the other drivers who are less certain about what they're doing. People who drive slow in the fast lane, I've said this forever. If I had a superpower, this is on my short list of superpowers I wish I could have. I wish I could, if you're putzing along in the fast lane and there's a line of cars behind you and you're not considerate enough to look in the mirror and get over, I wish I could safely shut down your vehicle, make sure you move safely to the side of the road. So boom, I shut your vehicle down, move you to the side of the road where you have to sit there for 15 minutes for the first violation. If I ever catch you again, I have to do it again. You have to sit there for a half hour. That's what you get for being inconsiderate. The rearview mirrors are there for a reason. If you ever look in the rearview mirror and there's a long line of cars behind you, you're freaking rude and you believe you're the only person on the road, but you are not. There are other drivers. Kindly move over so everyone else can get by. Jesse, when was the last time anyone was convicted of treason? Is it not a popular thing to do? Well, you saw the news story today that an FBI agent was trying to leave the country. He was trying to leave the country. He had a one-way ticket to leave the country, and he got busted. They snatched him up. He had been leaking classified information illegally. So for me, this is like Christmas morning. We finally have our first FBI agent in handcuffs looking at serious prison time. But to answer your question, because I know exactly what you're asking me, when's the last time someone got convicted of treason? This is going to get, it's a little dark, but it's true. How do you convict someone of treason in the country when half the country is treasonous? See what I mean? When one of the two political parties has decided that America freaking sucks and America should be burnt down, well, that's treason. Look, I would argue what Joe Biden did was treasonous with the gas. Remember what he did with the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? We were heading into the midterms and gas prices were high. Well, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is there in for times of war. So you make sure if your oil production, if your ability to get oil is held back by war, it's to make sure the country can continue to function. It is a critical, critical thing. The Biden administration wiped out the Strategic Petroleum Reserve just so they could win more seats in the midterms. He pumped all that gas into the economy to lower gas prices so they wouldn't get hurt as bad in the midterms. Tell me that's not treason. You can't just do that. But who's going to convict them when half the judges are treasonous? I mean, this is the problem with where we are now and where our mentality goes. We get all these wins, and we're getting great wins, and I don't want to be dismissive of those. We have so much work to do because we have so many people in critical positions of power who are trying to put the country to the torch, and that is not an easy fix. There's no quick fix for that. How do you handle the fact that Democrats packed over 200 judges onto the lower courts and these judges will now torch this place and stop Trump from doing anything unless he chooses to ignore them? There's no easy way around that. I mean, this question goes along great with it. Dear Great One, I'm Art from Connecticut. Hey, Art. Why does Soros do what he does? It doesn't make sense to me spending all that money to have these freaks make all this noise. George Soros has been quoted in newspaper articles before of, I don't even know if he called it narcissism, but essentially thinking of himself as if he's some kind of a god. I believe he actually used the word god, that he has this terrible god complex. There are people who've been trained that the United States of America is evil, that free markets are evil, that our system here is so evil. And there are many Americans and foreigners who believe the highest calling is to stop the United States of America, to make the United States of America crumble. And I could never explain that to you because I can't explain it to myself. I think that's just the most despicable way to look at things, especially when you look at a country like ours that we've done so much great. We do so much great, so many wonderful things. To think that this is some kind of an evil empire that must be brought to heel, I can't wrap my mind around it, and I can't explain it to you. All right. Some guy who uses bad words is angry with me about something about Trump. I'm not sure what it is. Someone wants to yell at me about child endangerment, cheesy snacks, all that. Chuck Schumer and more still to come. Let me first talk to you about finding that next great employee. Wouldn't it be cool? You've heard of speed dating, right? You sit down with someone for 5 minutes, then you churn through them. What about speed hiring? ZipRecruiter? They have this thing called Zip Intro. And here's what it is. You essentially get to meet a potential candidate, back-to-back video calls, candidates, quickly assessing, yeah, good fit, no good fit, oh, I probably need a follow-up interview. What if you could just churn through five people like that, back-to-back-to-back? Would that make your life easier? ZipRecruiter will do that for you. Did you know that? ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. Zip Intro is what it's called. Cannot beat it. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show if you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, it's so wild to me that people like Schumer fall victim to their own religion of destruction. It's a case study in communism eating their own. You think Schumer is second-guessing what he's helped create? Well, a guy like Chuck Schumer, he'd never done anything in the private sector. A career politician, it's so gross that this exists, but a career politician who's now a millionaire several times over, an immensely powerful human being who's going to be able to fly on private jets and fancy steak dinners and fundraisers and mansions. He essentially will live like royalty and has lived like royalty. What brought him that? Democrat Party politics brought him that. Getting involved in politics brought him all that prestige, all that wealth. And in being a Democrat, he knew he had to court street animals. You have to do that when you're a Democrat. You have to court the worst people in our society, the dumbest people in our society, the dregs of society. You understand, you have to go give speeches in front of them. I still laugh. It's still one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. I've never been able to find it. But Chuck Schumer was at a pride rally in New York City, and he's just such a friggin' goober anyway with that dumb voice of his and how he looks. And I remember he was sitting there in his khakis, and he's just dressed like a middle-aged dad. And I remember he's going, pride, pride, pride. He just looks like such a ham-fisted dork. And I remember thinking to myself, what a degrading moment. Dude isn't even gay, and he has to go walk with all these people in their pink feather boas and the leather chaps screaming about pride, pride, pride. What a man, how low do you have to degrade yourself to do that? But it's brought him wealth. It's brought him fame. It's brought him power that power that you'll never know, most likely. Like I said, when you're a United States Senator, especially when you're Chuck Schumer at that level, Chuck Schumer could visit Saudi Arabia and ask for a meeting with the royal family, and he would get one in one of those palaces they're supposed to have that you need a golf cart to drive around it. Are you ever going to see one of those palaces? I'm never going to see one of those palaces. Chuck Schumer will if he wants to. That life, getting that life of royalty, it comes with a cost, especially when you're a Democrat. The modern Democrat Party has had to court the street animals over and over and over again. And then after they've courted them, they've continued to radicalize them with all the Nazi, you're up against Nazis.
This shows, again, the American people do not trust Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is incompetent in his position. And how do we know? Because they fired tens of thousands of people, was challenged in court. The court said the people have to go back, and now the people are coming back. He's incompetent. He's a thief. He's a Nazi, and people don't trust him.
He's a Nazi. Years and years and years and years, they've been telling your liberal Aunt Peggy that she's fighting Nazis. And now liberal Aunt Peggy believes she's fighting Nazis. And so liberal Aunt Peggy will demand the Democrat Party take the most insane, unpopular, extreme positions because you have to do anything you could do to stop Nazis. Ah! And so now Chuck Schumer finds himself getting screamed at on television, having to go on TV, on The View, and debase himself. Having to go on The View, I still can't believe he put this on camera. Chuck Schumer knows about politics. He knows you can't say things like this. He did it anyway, trying to save his butt.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, the land.
That's bad to put on video. Okay, Chuck. It's what he's trying to do to fend off the left flank and maintain his leadership position. Dear food genius, what's the best original cheesy snack cracker? Cheez-Its, Goldfish, or Cheese Nips? It's Cheez-Its. All day. Original Cheez-Its still slap. Goldfish. Okay, let's just have a talk. Goldfish were never very good. They just weren't. They never had the pop. They never did what, Chris? What? See, Chris just made my point for me. Once again, Chris, by being dumb, made my point for me. Chris chimed in and he said, flavor blasted goldfish. You're right, Chris. Why'd they need those? Because the other ones were flavor lacking. That's why they need those. Oh, I like flavor blasted goldfish. I'll buy flavor glass. Why can I say that? Flavor blasted. Shut up, Chris. It's a hard thing to say. I'll buy flavor blasted goldfish. You have to buy those because the other ones suck. They're too bland. But Cheez-Its? Cheez-Its are the sneaky assassin of the snack world. And here's what I mean. You can go for a long time without trying a Cheez-It. A long time. You don't think about it. You'll walk by them in the grocery store. You'll be in the doctor's office or a car dealership, and they'll have the little mini bags of those. You'll pass them by and grab the Cheetos or Ruffles or something like that. And then you'll be in a situation where you have no other choice, and you'll snatch up a Cheez-It, and every time you go, I forgot how good these are. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. I love Cheez-Its. And white cheddar Cheez-Its, about as good as it gets. Almost as good as Pure Talk, to be honest. Almost as good. Not as good, because what's better than a cell phone company that shares your values? Because we haven't had one of those. We've been stuck with AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. I've had all three. The last one I had was Verizon. Have you ever looked at the charitable giving of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile? They hate you. My bill got cut in half when I switched from T-Mobile. I don't even want to tell you what I used to pay with Verizon. Pure Talk's on the same 5G network. Their customer service team, they're Americans who speak English. Pure Talk makes that a priority. You don't get a hold of Pure Talk to switch your service and have the... None of that. Actual English from a pleasant human being. And right now, on top of all the money you were going to save, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. When we come back, we'll talk about child endangerment, hostage rescues, and a whole host of other things, even cheesesteak egg rolls. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. By the way, Trump spoke today on the Department of Education and its functions, and those are going to be divvied up to different groups. And I love what he said. For the most part, one little thing I have to quibble about.
So if you look at the Pell Grants, supposed to be a very good program, Title I funding and resources for children with special disabilities and special needs, they're going to be preserved in full and redistributed to various other agencies and departments that will take very good care of them. And that's very important to Linda, I know, and it's very important to all of us.
I love it. I love that we're breaking up the Department of Education. I think it's wonderful. I like that we're making sure, or at least trying to do it carefully. I also think, you know, if we're going to put various, if we're going to take the duties of the Department of Education and we're going to hand those duties to various other parts of the government, I get that, you know, HHS is going to handle nutrition. Shouldn't the Army handle special needs? Jesse, I wonder if the issue of child endangerment ever came up with your dad leaving you by yourself in that thicket near the elk. I don't think my dad would care. The issue of child endangerment. Look, people grew up in a time. It's not just something you read about on the internet for you younger people. There was a time in this country where, especially we didn't have as many screens. I'm not insulting you for being on your screen or any of that other stuff. I have a phone too, whatnot, but that stuff really wasn't around. You just went outside, and you would leave. And your parents wouldn't know where you were because there's no cell phone to get a hold of you. You get on a bike, especially when you got a bike. When you got a bike, you were all of a sudden free. You could go further and faster. My friends and I, we would take our bikes and I would leave the house. We would take off into the hills. We would build bike ramps for ourselves and we would wipe out until we were bleeding and broken and limp back home at dark. My you want to know what it was like in my house? My sister Mickey and I, very pig-headed like I am. We're a really, really Irish family. And so Mickey and I would decide that we weren't pleased with whatever level of discipline we'd just received from mom or dad, which usually involved a paddling or something like that. And Mickey and I would get together. I'm talking 6 years old, 7 years old, we would decide that we are running away from home, that we're going away. And don't think that this was just like a passive thing. We would pack. We would pack backpacks and everything. My mom, who didn't have a lot of confidence it would last, she would oftentimes pack us lunches. And Mickey and I, we would just take off into the woods. That's it. We had no destination in mind. And there were, keep in mind, this was when we were back in Ohio. There were water moccasins everywhere, cottonmouths, depending on which part of the country, poisonous snakes all over the place. What, Chris? Chris said, how long did it last? About time it got dark. Then we'd come on back home. But mom wasn't worried about it. Now, we're talking the woods. God only knows what you could have run into out there. A wild animal, a skunk. And that was how it was done. I'll give you one better. You want a story about me and the old man and just kind of how he was? I have to own a lot of this because I've always been a bit of an adventurer anyway, where I enjoy kind of danger and risks. Remember when I told you he took me to Canada fishing one time and it was way up into the Yukon and there was no civilization anywhere? We actually went back to that place as like a nostalgic trip when I was, I think, 19 or 20 years old. And I went up there with one of my buddies, who was also a Marine at the time. So granted, we were two people who knew how to handle ourselves. But at one point, me and my buddy, Matt, I'm not going to give out his last name, me and my buddy Matt, remember, there are no facilities. There's nothing. We are in a little cabin, and you're on a bunch of little lakes that are broken up by various little strips of land. And there is nothing. There's no cell phone, no nothing, no radio, no nothing. You are all alone. Me, Matt, we take off on our own one day. Dad takes off. He's out fishing with his buddy. I tell my dad, hey, we saw there's a couple lakes over. It's going to take us a while to get there, but we're going to go fish that. It seems wild. There's no one else out there. And my dad's, all right, go. Whatever. You're on your own. Go. Hop on my boat. Take off. Get to a piece of land. Get on another boat after we walk through the piece of land. Take off across that lake. Cross another piece of land onto another boat. I would guess if we were going straight back, I would guess we're probably 3 hours away from getting back to the cabin. That's how long it took to get there. Now, these are wee little boats, really broken down. This is a really old place. And they have these little motors on them, right? Me, Matt, we go back to this other place. We fish until we can't move our arms. We're catching walleye and pike or muskie, depending on what part of the country. We're catching fish. We're having a time of our lives. It's starting to get, I don't want to say dark, but we're an hour from it being dark and we're 3 hours away. So we fire it up and we start motoring back. The boat was so rotted out. The boat was rot that the motor snapped off of the back of the boat, meaning the wood on the boat just simply was warped and just boom, it just broke off. Motor, bottom of the lake. Me, Matt, the middle of the Yukon, it's getting dark, nothing but us and a couple of oars. And now that 3 hour trip back turned into 4 or 5. And what you gonna do? Aim it the right direction, start paddling, keep it together. We came limping into camp like 10 o'clock that night. My old man was sitting there without a care in the world, sitting there on the porch. Ah, figured you two idiots would make it back at some point in time. That was how I was raised. Go figure it out. You go survive. Go figure it out. Helped me a lot. I really appreciate it. Jesse, have you ever had a cheesesteak egg roll? I have had a cheesesteak egg roll. There was this steakhouse, Morton's. I think Morton's a national chain, isn't it, Chris? They had one. It is, Corey. They had one in Tucson, and we had a campaign event there at one time, a fundraiser event, and they had cheesesteak egg rolls. Oh, my gosh. It was freaking amazing. Hey, LeBron hands Jesse. I've had enough of the words we hear each night on the news. When are we going to see the January 6th committee subpoenaed, along with the 51 former intelligence officials who lied about Hunter Biden's laptop? And when will we see the Elon deranged labeled domestic terrorists as the January 6th protesters were? I don't give a rat's beep about the Kennedy files. Pam Bondi has done nothing to impress me yet. And the subject of this one was enough with the words. As we've said, I am right now officially on a wait and see. I'm in wait and see mode with Pam Bondi. By the end of Donald Trump's 4 years, we will see a bunch of government employees, current and former, either already in prison or in the trial process, or everything is a failure. Government criminals must be prosecuted for government crimes. Otherwise, it doesn't matter about border, inflation, all that stuff, because the communists will simply just destroy all that the next time they get into power. We must give the criminals inside of the government something to be afraid of, and that means arrests. I know they got an FBI guy today, and I applaud them for it. Good for Pam Bondi. Good. That's a good start. Credit where it's due. I also understand that legal things take time. They take time. It doesn't work as fast as you want it or I want it. You have to put together a case and indictments and things like that. I'm going to be hard on them. It's me. I will. It takes longer than 60 days. Let's see what they can do. One segment left. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I hope you have a wonderful, blessed weekend. Remember, if you want to email me, you can. We'll be back on Monday for Medal of Honor Monday. You can email me to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, here's an interesting question. Maybe we should have tackled this earlier. Jesse, because the subject of this one is moral dilemma. How should a hostage rescue be decided? Consider the failed Iran hostage rescue attempted under Carter, the failed POW camp rescue in Vietnam, the partially successful rescue in Gaza. What if more troops are lost than hostages rescued? Do you even keep trying, even if it's a suicide mission for the troops and the hostages may be killed via booby traps? What if more troops volunteer? I don't know the answer to this. What do you think? I think that it's a wonderful question because there's not necessarily a great answer. I'll give you one. Here's something for you to think about. Just something to think about. I'm not saying I sign up for this because, like I said, I don't think there's a right answer. But I had a guy say this to me one time. Now, granted, this guy was a Navy SEAL and had done like 3 combat tours already. So he was he'd seen some things. But he was a thinker, for sure. And what he thought about hostage rescue was this. Now, we were talking about nations, how nations should handle it. He said, Jesse, the actual rescuing of the innocent person being held hostage should be a completely secondary priority. He said, if you can get one out, fine. He said, the main priority of any hostage rescue should be kill every single person responsible for taking the hostages. No matter what the situation is, no arrests. You make sure everybody who took a hostage dies every single time. And so we were going back and forth. We were playing this mental experiment. We were having a couple beers. And I said, okay, well, that's a little draconian. I get what you're saying. But what about the hostages, right? What if that's a bunch of school kids? A kindergarten class. He said, yeah, I understand that. He said, I get it. He said, the idea is supposed to be save as many innocent lives as possible, right? That's the ultimate goal, should be. I said, yeah. He said, well, forgetting the individual situation, on a macro level, over a long enough period of time, doesn't it save the most lives if it is understood that you will die if you take a hostage? He said, isn't that the most humane thing? Now, that's just one way to think about it. I understand what you're saying. So let's make it about Gaza, because that's a great example. Hamas exists underground in the tunnels. These are not tiny little things either. Paid for by the American taxpayer, these things are intricate. These things have running water, ventilation, different rooms, corridors, levels to them. Underground hospitals, you name it, they have it underground, and they are booby-trapped to the max. Well, I don't care how highly trained you are, Delta Force, you know, all those commando Israeli types. If you're Hamas and you're willing to die and you're holding a hostage in an underground tunnel, thinking that you can get to that hostage before they die is probably naive, and they know that. This is all stuff they know. They've talked about it openly. So what's the best way? I don't know that there's an answer to that. I think that, in my mind, you have to allow the troops to assume some level of risk because, one, that's their job, and two, they want to. You know, if you told me back in my Marine Corps days, and I was nothing like any of these guys, but you told me, hey, Jesse, do you want to take your platoon in there and try to save? They've got 3 women and 10 kids hostage. Some of you may die. I tell you one thing, to a man, everyone on my platoon would be like, okay, then someone might die. We're going to save them. We're going to try. That's the duty of a man. That's the duty of an armed service member. And cops feel the exact same way, the good ones. Not, of course, those losers in Uvalde who listen to a bunch of kids getting shot, but most cops feel the exact same way. Whatever the situation is, I'm going in. And that's the risk I take on when I put on the badge. So it's a fascinating question. One, I don't know that there's a right answer to, but I do know this. The right answer for your dog is rough greens. That I do know. I also know this. Fred would not be a good rescue dog at all. At all. There would be no advantage to bringing Fred along whatsoever. In fact, Fred doesn't really provide any advantages. Unless you're having a bad day, then he's going to make you feel really, really good. He's good at that. That's about it. We do love him, though. And we hope that big, fluffy meathead lives a very, very long time. And that's why we give our good boy Rough Greens. We sprinkle it on his food. It's a natural nutritional supplement. It has omega oils and antioxidants and digestive enzymes and probiotics. It will make sure your dog lives a very long time and a healthier life. That's what's important. There's no nutrition in the dog food. Your dog needs to get nutrition from somewhere else. Why not use Rough Greens? A free Jumpstart trial bag is available for you. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Oracle, if you walk in a bathroom and there are four urinals, three are normal and the last one is tiny for midgets and Italians, if someone is at the second urinal, what is the proper urinal to take? Do you take one or three next to him or create space and take the mini one? You take the mini one. I've never hesitated to take the mini one. The way gravity works, I don't care how tall the thing is. It's all going to fall in there eventually. Dear World Traveler Jesse, now that you're a famous radio and TV personality, you should buy a shiny convertible sports car to drive around. I'm sure your nose whistle will drown out the wind noise when you have the top down. You know, I thought this was going to be nice. But instead, this turned out to be mean and hurtful. That's one. Two, I don't want to drive a convertible. One, because it messes up my hair. And two, wind is the worst of all weather. That's why convertibles are ridiculous. Everyone knows wind is the worst. No one's ever said, I love the wind. So why would I add the worst weather to every driving experience? What, Chris? You know what, Chris? I do have to worry about my hair for your information. I have this new shampoo and it is working so well for me. I can't believe the shine. I can't believe the body on it. Jesse, will the movie stars in California that lost their homes face the same trouble trying to rebuild their homes, or will they get special treatment? Oh, they're going to get special treatment, but even they won't be able to overcome all the dirty commies who are going to rebuild that beautiful freaking area in Southern California. It's criminal what they're going to do with all that. You go enjoy your weekend and your family. Put the phone down. We'll be back on Monday. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.